So this morning on NPR, retired Army General Stanley McChrystal said that the fight against COVID-19 required a national response rather than state by state. So far, the president has deferred to state and local officials to take action. What do you think is the right response?
Yeah, well, you know, I wrote an op-ed yesterday that kind of outlined what I think needs to happen. And there's sort of five big things, but very quickly, I mean, the most important thing is you need some sort of emergency medical supply czar. You need one person who's accountable, who has experience managing what is arguably a very, very precedent-setting and complex operation. So I don't deny the difficulty of the mission, but I know that we have someone working at FEMA and someone working now with our retooling manufacturers. You've got the military doing their thing. You need a czar, a sort of senior person to oversee all that. Then, you know, FEMA is trying to catch up and is trying to play that role for procurement of supplies from, especially from overseas and China, especially. I think that's good that they're trying and we've seen some results, but in the near term, it's just, we know that they've been competing with our states, including Michigan. Mm-hmm. And so we want to just make sure that FEMA is doing that job without threatening existing orders. And then number three, the president needs to use the full powers of the Defense Production Act. He's talked about this. He's moved forward on it. But the truth is, folks like GM, Ventec making ventilators, Ford and GE making ventilators, they're retooling and moving out without any federal guaranteed orders. And what the president needs to do is ink some contracts, large contracts, to give those companies some predictability and stability, and then implement his powers under the DPA so that all the suppliers for those ventilators, all the 400 parts that go into a ventilator, they have top cover from the federal government to say, okay, I had existing orders, but I'm going to bump the federal government, the GM and Ventec orders to the top of my queue. Hmm. And then we need a worldwide logistics plan, right? A lot of the supplies that we're ordering right now are from China and other countries. They usually ship overseas, literally over the seas, and then are shipped by rail when they hit here. We just need to be picking them up by airplane, right? Our commercial aircraft are dying for things to be doing. Let them go and pick up those supplies and move them quickly to the points that really need them. So there's a bunch of other things that can be done, but those are the major ones that we could be doing now to help streamline the supply chain.
Do you think we're getting to be at a point where it's almost too late to do a national coordinated effort on this? The virus is just moving so quickly. And at this point, the states have really started to get control of what their plans are. At some point, isn't it just invaluable for the federal government to step in and say, hey, we're going to take over the operations now?
Well, listen, I think there's no doubt about it. We will have a lot of lessons learned after we're through this on what we could have done earlier. And certainly I've been vocal about this, that FEMA could have been doing this coordinated role basically since January and building up the national stockpile, placing those large orders. And they're playing catch up now. It's important that they not try and now compete with the states. I do think that most states went out on the president's guidance, started making orders, purchasing equipment, and we are expecting at least some of that equipment to come in over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. That should not be touched by the federal government. But, you know, this is going to go on for a while. And it's important that we get a better system than the one we have now, which is just the open market competition, prices going up, and ultimately the taxpayer paying way more, for instance, per mask than they should have. So I think the FEMA, I don't want them to disrupt us in the near term, but looking 3 or 4 weeks out, FEMA certainly could be doing a better job at centralizing supply.
Let's talk a little bit more about the stockpile. Should there have been a national stockpile that looked more like national oil reserves or something that would have anticipated a pandemic happening at some point?
Yeah, you know, the intelligence community has been talking about the increasing likelihood of a pandemic, a deadly pandemic, for over a decade. But the truth is, neither administration, Democrat or Republican, Congress controlled by Republicans or Democrats have not fully invested the resources into the national stockpile. And I think we saw that very early on when the stockpile was opened up and states were asking for equipment and we were getting 25% of what we asked for. And some states were getting, even less than that. So I think we've exposed real problems in our preparedness. And it's going to be part of our lessons learned process when this is over. That's what the military always does, is sort of an after action report when you get through a crisis. And there's already members of Congress, myself included, talking about how do we mandate a certain level of supplies in our national stockpile. Frankly, I've been talking with my peers about, whether we've outsourced too much of our medical supply chain. I mean, the fact that we are fighting hard to get masks from China and don't have enough, U.S.-based supply, I think that's a strategic vulnerability. And we weren't thinking about it ahead of time, but the truth is we have very strict requirements for military equipment and how much of that could ever be outsourced, very small amount. I think we should have similar standards on the medical supply chain and prescription drugs.
When you talk about lessons learned and when everything is sort of taken into account and the multiple studies are done about what went wrong and what could have been done better, is it only applicable then to future pandemics, or can you relate that information to other potential global catastrophes like global warming?
That's interesting. I mean, I think we are going to have, COVID in our life for a while. And while we will make it through this first initial wave, I think most doctors and researchers will tell you that similar to the way flus are cyclical, then we're likely to see this again, potentially, next fall. And I think we have a job to do to be prepared in the near term. I do think this pandemic is showing us what the face of Homeland Security is really starting to look like. It's not just preparing ourselves to deal with a potential terrorist attack or a major altercation with a world power. It's about protecting our families here on the ground. And right now that's a pandemic, but absolutely. I mean, I think environmental security needs to be treated like homeland security, because it's quite literally about the safety and security of our families and the preservation of our way of life. So I do think there'll be really waves of lessons that come out of this conflict or this crisis, similar to 9/11. I mean, it was a generational event. Before 9/11, we didn't take off our shoes when we went through TSA, and we were out able to carry our water bottles, and we were, could go into any building we wanted without showing ID. We changed as a society after 9/11. And I think that we're set to do the same thing after COVID-19. I mean, who among us won't be more aware of personal space and distancing, germs? I just think we're in the middle of something really generational, and we will not be the same after we come through it. We will absolutely come through it. And Lord knows Michigan has stood up in a way that the whole country is watching with our manufacturing retooling. But we will be different.
Some of your colleagues in the House have called for demographic tracking of the COVID cases, especially here in Detroit. We've seen that most of the cases being out of the city, that is 80 to 85% black. We still don't have a centralized database of demographic information about who's getting sick and who's dying. Should there be a national database of demographics, and could that be easily coordinated?
Yeah, I was just on a call, a bipartisan call with something called the Problem Solvers Caucus, which is equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans. And we had the former head of the FDA as our sort of special guest. And it is definitely clear that the folks who are being hospitalized, and certainly those who are going to the ICU with COVID, tend to have another comorbidity. They have another issue like heart disease or diabetes that makes them more vulnerable. The CDC and the FDA should indeed be tracking this information. I think in a less of a crisis-ridden state, they would be producing this information. And obviously, we all need to know and understand the trends as close to real time as we can get it. I just think right now they are not putting that out. We've been urging them to produce more information publicly. And I hope that they will, because I think we're all learning. We're in the beginning edge of this thing. We're just trying to understand who it affects. And right now, we need to deal with the immediate gaps, which are things like personal protective equipment for healthcare workers and tests. But we will need to understand the data as soon as possible. So we're just going to have to keep pushing them to put it out.
Well, would it require an act of Congress, or could it be done internally without that act?
No, it does not need an act of Congress. The federal agencies, you know, I was in the federal government for almost 15 years, and much of this stuff is about direction and leadership and decisions to be transparent by the senior most folks at these agencies and departments. And I don't want to get to the point where we have to legislate to get them to produce information that we all need. I think that they may be overwhelmed. And it's a matter of putting pressure on them rather than legislating, which would probably take longer anyways.
Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.